He didn't create the boys twice. Oh, I like that answer. He's the creator, him who he only created them once. I like that answer. He knew I didn't create the second set of boys. Okay. Why else is he thinking it's impossible? Okay. And what's wrong with that?
That was completely identical.
Completely identical. Why is that impossible?
He thought that it's not impossible.
But why is it impossible to have two sets completely identical? Why is that impossible? Why?
The soul is unique.
Yes! Each soul is unique. You cannot have two souls exactly alike, ever. There are several places where Srila Prabhupada talks about the fact that each of us have our very particular role to play in the eternal spiritual world. And only we do it, nobody else. Now we see here, just like Krishna can expand as the cowherd boys, whatever flavor of rasa we share with Krishna, Krishna can supply that for himself. He doesn't need us to supply it. But it's a lot more fun having us supply. Krishna wants that relationship with us that only we can give. No one else can give it. We each have our particular flavor. Just like we talk about the five main staibhavs, which we normally call the five rasas. There's the conjugal lover, parental, friendship, servant, and neutrality. But if you look at the Goswami's literature, you'll see that each of those main staibhavs have subcategories. So among the friends of Krishna, there's friends that are more reverential and friends that are more intimate. There's friends that are the same age, friends that are a little younger, friends that are a little older. And there's certain friends that are like friendship mixed with parental, friendship mixed with servitude. Then Krishna has very intimate friends, more intimate friends, most intimate friends. Among the gopis, or among the conjugal lovers, there's Krishna's wives, and there's Krishna's girlfriends. And then among them, there's the more submissive ones, and the more fiery ones. Correct? And then we go down to about three or four subcategories. But you can keep going, more and more and more and more. Subcategories until you get to each soul. And each soul has their individual relationship with Krishna. We see, even in this material world, that we're each unique individuals. Even our bodies are unique. Each of us have a different fingerprint and a different DNA, and even identical twins. So Brahma knew that there's no two jivas the same. Therefore, what he was saying was impossible. And we can understand from this that each of us is a very valued person to Krishna. In the universal scheme of things, you can say that we're very insignificant. We're no more than a speck of dust, but we're very significant to Krishna. The relationship Krishna has with us, he has with nobody else. So then as Lord Brahma is looking and trying to understand, how can there be two jivas the same? Krishna shows him, these are not jivas. And each cowherd boy and each calf then displays his real self as Lord Vishnu. Now Lord Vishnu has certain marks that only Vishnu has. Like there are many devotees with Swarupa Mukti who look a lot like Vishnu. And we had Bhagavatamrita, when Gopal Kumar goes to Vaikuntha, he sees the Vishnu Dutas. And he thinks that they're Lord Vishnu. He goes up to one and he says, oh, I'm Namo Narayanaya. And he says, no, I'm not Narayana, I'm just a servant. And then Gopakumara sees another resident of Vaikuntha who's even more opulent. And again he says, Om Namo Narayanaya. No, I am not Narayana. I'm just a servant. This goes on about 10 times. Finally, the residents of Vaikuntha say, we'll tell you how you can tell who's the real Vishnu. He has the Srivats, he has the Kastuba jewel. So all of these Vishnu forms were fully Vishnu. They weren't devotees who had forms like Vishnu, but they were full Vishnu. And they were glancing at the pious devotees. We were just reading in Karlavach, Queen Kunti was praying about the glance of the Lord on all of the earth, making the earth full with grains and jewels. And Prabhupada, in lecturing on that verse, talked about when Krishna looks at us with his glance, that we also flourish. And we were talking about that yesterday with Krishna's glance, reviving the cowherd boys and the cows that drunk the poisoned Jamuna water, and how the boys felt, my only wealth is Krishna's glance. So Krishna's now, all these Vishnu forms, they're glancing at all their devotees, and the word used for the glance is raja or raga, passion. But the passion of the Lord is affection. The original form of the mode of passion is this affectionate glance of the Lord. If you want to know how to conquer the material mode of passion, the way to conquer it is to turn it back to its original form of affection. And the younger brother of lust, anyone know who the younger brother of lust is? Anger. When the four Kumaras got angry at Jaya and Vijaya, it said that they were exhibiting the younger brother of lust. We get angry because the situations that we lust after, they fail to satisfy us, or we fail to achieve them. So whenever we're feeling angry, you can also conquer anger through affection. It is impossible, you can try it sometime, to feel both affectionate and angry at the same time. You just can't hold it at the same time. You can be affectionately angry, but not the kind of anger that controls you and poisons you. Right? You all know what I'm talking about? You know, the kind of anger that like takes over your body. The scientists have said that becoming angry is like drinking several cups of poison in the toxins that it puts into your body. So both lust and anger can be conquered by affection, which is its original form. And it's interesting that the Lord's glance full of affection creates desires in the otherwise desireless devotees. We were talking this morning about how everyone is complete, that we all as souls are also Atmaram and Aptakama. Well, then why would you want to do anything? But the Lord's glance instills desires for service. Desires for service, not for one's own sense gratification, because one's already fulfilled. Then each of the Vishnu forms were surrounded by all living entities. And this is also a very important point, that each living entity was worshiping the Lord according to their own inclinations. That one receives a form according to the way one worships the Lord. So if we're an illusion, then we get a particular form given by the demigods according to the way that we want to enjoy the material world, as exhibited by our actions, which means our karma. So each of us have a particular material body because we have a particular way we want to try to exploit material nature. And spiritually, we each have a different spiritual body depending on how we want to render service to Krishna. So the form is an external manifestation of our desires. So according to our particular forms, we talk a lot about how we should serve Krishna according to our nature, according to our abilities. In the spiritual world, each of us have an original spiritual form that has certain abilities. But even in this world, Prabhupada says everyone has some extraordinary talent. So you find that extraordinary talent and you use it for Krishna. So here, all the living entities, we're each worshiping Krishna according to their abilities. And this is what Lord Brahma saw. He saw millions of Vishnu forms, each of them surrounded by countless living entities, liberated and conditioned, who were each serving the Lord according to their abilities. And he also saw that all the living entities were singing and dancing. Krishna's really into singing and dancing. He does a lot of singing. Says in the story of Lord Varaha that the spiritual world is a perpetual festival. There's some religions that don't allow dancing. You know that? Some religions forbid dancing. There are some religions that forbid musical instruments. Like in the Middle Ages, the Catholic Church didn't allow any musical instruments. And so Krishna is really a musical instruments and singing and dancing kind of person. Kevala Nandakanda, simply joyful process. So then surrounding each Vishnu form and depending upon him were personified opulences, wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. Personified forms of all of the mystic powers, getting smaller than the smallest and bigger than the biggest and lighter than the lightest, creating a planet, controlling others' minds. The personified time, personification of the three modes of nature, personification of earth or solid objects, water or liquid, fire or radiant energy, air or gases, and ether or space. I wonder what personified space looks like. There were also in personified form all the samskaras that caused both memory and forgetfulness. All desires were there in personified form. All different kinds of activity or karma were also there in personified form. Actually, everything is a person, ultimately. So, if we were seeing all this, we would probably do what Brahma did, and he just went... He became completely stunned. At Lord Brahma's a golden color, he looked just like a golden doll. He became completely still, like the mannequins in the shop windows. You know, sometimes they use real people to do that. You know? So Lord Brahma became like that, completely still. I did that once for an art project in my secondary school. Became like a mannequin, but I wasn't in ecstasy. Lord Brahma was being stunned in ecstasy. And what was amazing is that Lord Brahma has full control over the goddess of learning, who's his wife. He's the best authority in Vedic knowledge. But he just thought, I'm just a puppet. I'm so insignificant. He was like a clay doll in the presence of a deity. And he thought, I just wanted the demigods. And then he just thought, I don't understand anything. Now, it's really interesting when you first take up Krishna consciousness, you feel you understand everything. Oh, now I got all the answers to all the questions, and I understand everything. You go out and preach, and you tell people, this is the truth, this is how it works, and after you're chanting for a while, you realize you really don't understand much of anything. So Lord Brahma is normally a little proud, thinking that he's the chief in the universe, and he just realized, I don't understand anything. I don't know what's going on. I just don't understand anything at all. And he became so stunned. He was feeling so much ecstatic happiness that after a while, he couldn't even see. It just became too much. He was just overwhelmed, and everything just went dark. He couldn't see at all. And then Krishna, feeling compassion for Lord Brahma, he completely removed Yogamaya. It shows that Krishna can only be seen in whatever way he wants to be seen. You can't force... You can't say, okay, Krishna, I've done this tapasya and this bhakti and whatever, and now you have to do this. But he's independent. And then Brahma, who had fallen in his stunned condition, he stood up, opened his eyes, and he felt like he was coming back from the dead. And he just kind of looks around. And again, he saw things as he usually sees them. And how does Brahma usually see the universe? With his forehead. He usually sees that it's his. He usually thinks, this is my universe. Huh? Like we have our own home, or our room, or our car. This is my room. Oh, here's my universe again. I am the creator of the universe. Right? For a while, he was thinking, I'm just one of the demigods. I'm like a puppet. I'm just nothing. What's going on here? And now he's like, oh yes, I am Brahma. I am the creator of the universe. This is my universe. Very good. And then he looks around and he sees Vrindavana. He sees the trees that are pleasing in all seasons. He sees that there's no envy, no lust, and no greed. And he saw that all the living entities were in cooperation. So at this point, Lord Brahma starts to touch the ground. Now, generally, the demigods don't touch the ground when they come to Earth. They stay existing in their own space-time. You know, they don't become part of Earth's space-time. Now, the scientists think that space and time mathematics works the same way here as it does on the other planets. I was talking to one scientist the other day, and I said, how do you know? How do you know two parallel lines will never meet? Maybe in another part of the universe, they do. I said, even Einstein said that time and space change in different parts of the universe. And he had to admit that he didn't know. So Lord Brahma lives in a different time-space than we do. His conceptions of time and space are very different, and the demigods don't generally touch the ground. But he was so overwhelmed with ecstasy and humility that he came down and touched the ground. He gave up his false prestige of being the big Lord Brahma. And then he offered obeisance to little Krishna. Little Krishna is just about 6 years old now, you know. Brahma is very big. And little Krishna. And he's offering obeisances again and again and again. Now, I don't know how he did it, but all four of his helmets touched the ground. So I don't quite know how he did that. And he was crying tears of joy, and his tears of joy were just washing Krishna's lotus feet. And again, he's seeing the Lord as this little boy with pickle in his right hand and yogurt, rice, and fruit in his left hand, with the fruit sticking between the fingers. And looking around, where are my lost calves and where are my lost boys? And Brahma was so happy. He just kept offering obeisances, getting up and falling, getting up and falling, for a very, very, very long time. And at this point in the Leela, Sukadeva Goswami starts speaking in present tense. And the Acharyas say that's because he started to witness this pastime happening before his eyes as he was speaking to Sukadeva Goswami. So Brahmasa's wonderful prayers, which we will not talk about in this particular seminar, each of Brahma's prayers we could speak about for a long time. This is when Brahma says, for example, Tatenu Kamtam, that the way to inherit the Dayabak, the kingdom of God, is to offer more obeisances to the Lord when there's difficulty. After Brahma offers all of his prayers, as is customary when offering prayers, he asks for a benediction. And what does Lord Brahma want? He wants to become what? He wants to become humble, and he wants to become specifically grass. He says, I want to take birth as grass. Now, if you think about this for a minute, think about all the things that we might want. And here's God in front of you. Would you say, may I please become grass? Who would ask to be grass? So the ecstasy of loving Krishna does strange things to people. I believe it was Maharaj Prithu who asked to have millions of ears. And you see God, what would you like? Can I please have millions of ears? That's what he asked for. And Lord Brahma said, can I please just be a blade of grass? And if I can't be a blade of grass in Vrindavan, then let me be right outside of the border of Vrindavan. Somehow to be in touch with your devotees. So what's interesting now is that what does Krishna do? Nothing. Doesn't say anything. Doesn't do anything. Nothing. It's interesting because when Indra tried to flood Vrindavan with the purpose of killing all the residents of Vrindavan, and he came to Krishna and apologized, Krishna spoke to him. But in this case, Krishna didn't speak to Brahma at all. Now, he has a lot of affection for Brahma. Brahma's his son. He certainly forgave Lord Brahma. But he's staying in this role of a little cowherd boy. So his mood was, who is he? What does he want? Why is he talking to me? Like a little child. You know, sometimes if you go up to a little child and talk to them, they don't answer you. You have experience? They just kind of look at you. So Krishna's just like, who who's this guy? And just with his eyes, Lord Brahma can understand. Krishna wants me to go back. Lord Brahma took the silence as Krishna's order that he could return. Now, not only could return, but should return. Because Lord Brahma asked to be grass, and he could understand Krishna was indicating to him, not now. Right now, you have to go finish your term as Lord Brahma. So sometimes that happens, right? We ask Krishna for things. Sometimes the answer is yes, sometimes it's no, and sometimes it's not now. If we think about it in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Gopa Kumara at one point becomes Lord Brahma. The entity who was Lord Brahma was upset because of a demon and he went to hide. So Gopa Kumara became Lord Brahma. And then, thank you. Then at a certain point he wanted to go to Vrindavan. And he was told, I forget by whom, but he was told, you don't have to finish your lifetime as Lord Brahma, you can immediately go to Vrindavan. In this place, Lord Brahma was told, you do need to finish your life as Lord Brahma before you can become grass in Vrindavan. Then Krishna goes back to his friends, who are now back on the bank of the Yamuna, in that area of soft grass, with the trees overhead, with their branches intertwined like a canopy, with the sweet smell of lotuses and the chirping of the birds and the rustlings of the leaves and eating their food on plates. What were their plates again? Rocks? Leaves? Baskets? Tree bark, right?
And
flowers. And they stayed in the same place for 1 year and they thought it was only a moment. Now usually the devotees feel that one moment without Krishna is like a yuga. In this case, they felt that 1 year without Krishna was only a moment. And then they congratulated Krishna. Oh, well done, Krishna, you found the cab so fast. You're really clever. Right? They said, we didn't even take one bite of food while you were gone. And they were so happy that Krishna was back again. And then after they ate their lunch and did their pastimes, they went back to Vrindavan village. As they were going back, Krishna called each of the calves by name, saying how each jiva is unique and Krishna knows the name of every jiva. And on the way back, what did they see? Ah, they saw the dead body of a gasara. And as they're coming back, Krishna is a festival for the eyes of all the residents of Vrindavan. And this time when they came back, the cowherd boys talked about how Krishna had killed Agasura that day. And they hadn't for one whole year. They had never talked about what Krishna did. And then Nanda Maharaj tells Mother Yasoda, he says, you know, now Krishna is getting, he's almost 6 years old now. It's time for him to have a separate room and not just sleep with us anymore. So this time Nanda Maharaj built a separate room for Krishna. And then Lord Brahma goes back to Satchaloka and he says, you'll never guess what happened to me today. And he tells the whole story to the residents of Satchaloka, and as he tells this story again and again and again, he's overwhelmed with ecstasy. So again, hearing the story, telling the story, or even wanting to hear the story will bring one the fulfillment of all of one's spiritual desires. And this is the last thing that Prabhupada translated and commented on before he left this planet. So we have just a few minutes if anybody has any questions or discussion. And tomorrow we will do Krishna swallowing the second forest fire. And if we can get a projector, I have a show for that. So any questions or comments? Yes? Yes.
Since he is pure devotee, so how is this possible? Still he has pure devotee samanata, so he was just covering the power in the
Well, it was she was saying, how could Lord Brahma feel proud if he's a pure devotee? It was interesting because Prabhupada was asked this question and he just said he's a very great devotee. He didn't really answer it. Just kind of left it. So I'll do that too. I'm sorry. Yes, something else?
So, how can we concentrate on the goal and not on the obstacles?
How can we concentrate on the goal and not on the obstacles? When you find yourself thinking about the obstacles, stop and say, what's my goal? What's my goal? Our process is not so much to become detached from Maya, but to become attached to Krishna. When you become attached to Krishna, detachment from Maya will happen automatically. This is not the International Society for Getting Rid of an Arjuna's Consciousness. It's the International Society for Being Conscious of Krishna. It's something we should be meditating on. One way you can do it is by just celebrating any way, any little way, in which you are achieving your goal, instead of focusing on the ways you're not achieving it. And remembering what your goal is. Seeing how you can achieve your goal in the situation you have, instead of how does the situation keep me from achieving my goal. See even the obstacles as opportunities. Here's an opportunity for me to develop patience and tolerance. I had one woman the other day tell me, my husband isn't cooperating to train the children in Krishna consciousness. How am I going to make the children devotees? I said, well, you can show them how you can be patient and tolerant in a difficult situation. Have any of you read the book Salted Bread? So if you haven't read that book, I highly recommend it. So these were devotees in the former Soviet Union who were imprisoned for distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. So they were in a situation where, you know, they had no association with devotees, especially when they were in the Siberian labor camps. And not only no devotees, but their association was all criminals. It wasn't even ordinary materialistic people. You know, robbers, murderers, rapists. No prasadam, no books, no beads. They had to make their own beads out of old bread. No deities. And so they were Krishna conscious. Extraordinarily so. Very nice book. So they saw, how can I be Krishna conscious in this situation rather than look at all the ways in which this situation prevents me from being Krishna conscious? Anything else? Yes. It's difficult to say. He knew that Krishna was God, but then when he came and saw how the cowherd boys and Krishna were eating, he was a little confused. Because he worships the Lord as Narayana, his father, in all awe and reverence. And he didn't quite get what was going on. The way they were playing and sticking flowers in the samosas, and Krishna eating with both hands. He didn't really... He was wondering. He said, let me see if this is really Narayana. Let me test him. Anybody else? Yes.
I was just wondering if this stage was here. So they were growing?
Well, they must have been growing. They were 6 years old. That isn't explained. It's explained that Krishna was in expansion, was also having pastimes with them, so that he wasn't feeling separation from his friends. But it doesn't say specifically what they were doing. Because at the end of the year, they were right back where they were before, as if no time had gone by. That's what it said. They were in some expanded form playing with Krishna. That Brahma only took some shadow boys and cats. Anybody there have a question? So thank you very much. And tomorrow we'll do Swallowing the Forest Fire. And I have to remember to try to get a projector. All glories to Shiva Prabhupada.